God told Abraham to do two things. He very explicitly told him to do two things. No doubt in anybody's mind, all you've got to do is read the 12th chapter of Genesis in the first verse, and you'll find very plainly what God told Abraham to do. Number one, Abraham, I want you to leave your family and your home. Leave your father's house and leave your kinfolks. That's the first thing he said to do. Now he said the second thing I want you to do is go to a land where I'll show thee. That land is the land of Canaan. Though God did not name the land at that time, he did say he wanted Abraham to go to a particular place where he would show him. All right, now you tell me. After I give it one more time, I want you to tell me. The first thing that God told Abraham to do was leave his household and his house. The second thing was to go to the land of Canaan. Well, then you tell me, what's the first thing God told Abraham to do? To leave his household and his house. And the second thing, God said he wanted him to go to the land of Canaan. Now, is that plain? Just as plain as day, isn't it? If you'll read it, you cannot get anything else out of it. He said, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. And that place was the land of Canaan. Now, Abraham half obeyed each of these commands. He half obeyed. In the first place, Abraham did not leave all of his father's house. He took with him his father, Terah, and his nephew, Lot. Now, did God tell him to leave his kindred or take his kindred? To leave his kindred. He left most of his kindred. He left all of his uncles. He left all of his aunts. He left all of his brothers. He left all of his sisters. But he did not leave his father. And he did not leave his nephew, Lot. So Abraham obeyed halfway. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, halfway obedience is no obedience at all. He obeyed halfway in that command. The second thing that God told Abraham to do, he said, I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, that's your own home, household, and so forth, and I want you to go to the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan was 500 miles away. Abraham went just about half that far. I'd say about 235 miles he went. He stopped at a place called Haran and live there. Now, God said, leave the Ur of the Chaldees. He did that. God said, go to Canaan. He did not do that. Or you see how he halfway obeyed again. In the first place, God said, leave your house and your household. He didn't leave them all. He took his father with him. He took his nephew, Lot, with him. The second place, God said, leave and go all the way to the land I show you. He did not go all the way. He went half the way. He stopped at a place called Haran, a little halfway house, and there he lived. Now, let's suppose this. Suppose when the Holy Spirit of God told me he wanted me to come to pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Suppose I'd have said, Lord, I'll go as far as Springfield, Missouri. That'll get me out of Garland. Now, pastor in Springfield, Missouri. The Lord said to me, I want you to leave Garland and the pastor there, and I want you to go to Hammond, Indiana, and pastor there. Now, suppose I had left Garland, gone halfway to Springfield, Missouri, settled down, pastored a church in Springfield, Missouri. Would I have been obeying God? Well, of course not. The Bible says we are separated unto the gospel of God, not only from, but unto. I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to go to Canaan. And Abraham settled about halfway. Now listen, I'm talking to hundreds of people in this room this morning who are living in the halfway house. You have left the bad, but you have not yet arrived at the good. You neither live in Ur or Canaan. You're living in Haran. You've been saved by the cross, but you've not yet taken up your cross and followed Jesus. You're saved from hell. You're on your way to heaven. And the choir sang a while ago about what a nice place heaven is. You'll go to heaven, okay. You have trusted the cross of Jesus Christ, but you have never yet lifted up your cross to follow Him. You've left the Ur of the Chaldees, but you've never yet arrived at the land of Canaan. You speak neither the language of the Philistines or the people of God. You speak half the language of Ashdod and half the language of the Jews. You're half in, half out. Half world, half God. Half good, half bad. You've left the cursing, but not the slang. You've left the fighting, but not the gossip. You sort of live in a death in life. Or a place sort of where rebellion mixed with obedience. An unbelief in faith. A darkness in light. A wrong in right. A blindness in sight. A misery in delight. A sickness in health. A poverty in wealth. A sadness in joy. You don't have enough joy to make you happy or enough sadness to make you sad. You have enough sadness to keep you from having full joy. Enough joy to keep you from having full sadness. And so you're like a seesaw up and down all the time, having left the Ur of the Chaldees and gone halfway, but you've never gone all the way for God, and that's the most miserable place in this world for a person to live. You've left the hard rock, but you still play the soft rock music. You've left the hippie hair, but you still wear the mod style that the world fashions. You tithe, but after deductions have been taken out. You've left the Ur of the Chaldees, but you've not yet gone to Canaan. You have done, quit doing what God said don't do, but you've not yet started doing all that God said you ought to do. You visit, but you don't win souls. You go to church, but not on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You're just like Abraham was. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, but that isn't all. There is a place I want you to go. When God tells you to quit drinking, he don't mean quit drinking everything. God means for you to quit drinking liquor, but He wants you to start drinking something that's good. When God says, I want you to quit doing bad, He doesn't mean just be sort of be in a vacuum all the time or be sort of a non-entity. God wants you to quit the bad so you might have enough room for the good. God wants you to overcome evil with good. But there you sit this morning. Many of you, hundreds of you, good people. You don't drink. You don't curse. You don't even smoke. You don't gamble. You don't go to the nightclubs. You don't tell filthy stories. You don't read Playboy magazines. But your entire Christian testimony can be wrapped up in one sentence. You've left the Ur of the Chaldees, but you've never arrived in Canaan. Oh, you don't go to movies, but you bring them to your living room or your family room and watch them at home. And that's just as wicked. In fact, that's more wicked. That's a hiding, deceitful kind of a sneaky way to look separate on the outside and yet live just like you used to live when you went to the dirty Hollywood movies. You don't curse, but you use mod language. You use the language of the hippie, the language of the world. Nobody has taught you yet that cool means not hot, and neat means not wrinkle, and blast means a loud noise. You don't use the curse word. You don't take God's name in vain. But you have borrowed the jargon of Haran. You know why? You live in Haran. That's why. And so you're not in Ur, you're not in Canaan. You're not all the way up, all the way down. You're not hot, you're not cold. You're not in, you're not out. You're not with it, you're not against it. You're not over yonder, you're not over here. You're halfway in between the land of Ur and the land of Canaan, and that's the most miserable place in the world you'll ever live. You wear a gray top and a blue bottom. You don't live in sin, but you don't do anything much for God. You obey the don'ts in the Bible, but do not obey the do's in the Bible. You read the Bible, but don't love it. You want to be respectable. It gets you to church, but you don't enjoy it when you get there. Now listen to me this morning. The most miserable wretch in this house is that person who's heard the call of God to give everything to God, but who stopped halfway at the halfway house. You know what? I hate to say it because I want everybody to get saved, but the unsaved folks are happier than you are. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Let's suppose that, let's see if I can illustrate this. Let's suppose that Brother Bordway here, he drinks liquor. He doesn't now. He drinks something worse than liquor, coffee. But let's suppose he drinks liquor. And let's just suppose that he has it in his icebox at home, or he has it stored in the wine stored in the basement at home, and so forth. Well, let's suppose that new neighbors move in next door, and Mrs. Bordway comes and says, "You know who's moving in next door?" And he says, "Who?" And she says, "The Hileses." He says, "Good night. Is Brother Hiles going to live right next door to me? Any minute he may knock on my door, and I may have a can of Slits or Blats or something in my hand. Any minute I might be drinking my evening martini and Brother Hiles may come over." Let me ask you a question. Do you think you'll be maybe happier with me living way across town as I do now, or with me living right next door? He'll enjoy his liquor a lot more. By the way, you'll never leave this thing again in this building. Long as you live, you dirty liquor-drinking guzzler, you. But do you think he'll enjoy it more with me there? Of course not. Listen, when a person is born again, Bethany, when you are born again, you may live in sin, but you'll never enjoy it again as long as you live. Why? Christ comes in you to live. That's why. And from that moment forward, every time you say a curse word, there's somebody going to say, "You shouldn't have said that." Every time you drink a bottle of whiskey, a bottle of beer, somebody's going to say, "You shouldn't have done that." That means you have one choice of two if you're saved. You stay in Haran and be miserable, or you go on to the land of Canaan and be happy. Now, the two things I want you to notice about Abraham and his halfway house living. In the first place, in keeping his father, he lost him. Listen now. In keeping his father, he lost him. God said, "Abraham, I want you to leave your kindred. Please take the baby out immediately, please. Don't wait a minute. We have a nursery at the church. We expect it to be used. The baby cries. Please let folks hear. In God's dear name, I'm trying to plead with my people to stay spiritual and stay right and get people saved, and they have a right to listen to what I have to say and listen to God's man and God's message." How many times? How many times? How many times do I have to beg you? Not because it bothers me, but because this is life unto life and death unto death. That's why. So, God said, "Abraham, I want you to go leave your kindred, leave your father, leave your mother, leave your family, leave your home, and go to Canaan." But Abraham said something. Listen to me. Look at me. Look at me. Abraham said something like this. He said, "I love my dad. My dad and I have been very close. I simply cannot say goodbye to my old dad." Maybe Abraham's father too. I said, "Son, do you mean to tell me that you're going to leave me and go 500 miles away and live somewhere else? I'm an old man. I've been good to you. I have fed you. I have clothed you. I have been good to you. Are you going to leave me?" Abraham perhaps should have said, "Father, God told me to leave you. I don't want to go, but God told me to go. And I feel I ought to go." And Terah kept on persuading and kept on persuading. But finally, Abraham took Terah and his nephew Lot, disobeyed God, and he wanted to keep his father. His father loved him. He cannot say goodbye. Now, wait a minute. On the trip, I think I overhear a conversation. Abraham, said Terah, I'm getting tired. I'm weary. I'm tired of traveling. Your father is an old man. Couldn't we stop? We've left the Ur of the Chaldees. We've gone halfway. Couldn't we stop? And by the way, Abraham, that big Euphrates River is like a lake or a sea or an ocean. I don't think I could cross that Euphrates River. And after persuading, Abraham, listen to me, Abraham listened to his father. And because he did not obey completely and leave his father, now his father persuades him to stop at the halfway mark and dwell there. Let me say something, and I want to say it very frankly and kindly. I'm not in the business or in the habit of being critical of other preachers. And you know that I thank God for everybody in this world who preaches the Bible. But there is a doctrine that I think is wrong being spread abroad in our land today on a wide scale that I think I ought to say a word about, and I do it for the sake of my people. I'm not trying to be retaliatory. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to make a rebuttal against anybody. I'm doing it for your sake because I think you ought to hear this truth. There is a doctrine spread abroad that you ought to always obey your parents regardless of how old you are. Now, that is not true. That is not true. There's a doctrine that says, and it's being widespread, that says that when you become an adult and your mom and dad say, go to a liberal college, you ought to obey them and go to a liberal college. I don't believe that for a second. Not for a second. There's a doctrine that says, as long as your mother and father are alive, you're to do exactly what they say. Now, the Bible says, children obey your parents. It never says no, adults obey your parents. Every one time. If I had obeyed my father, I would not have entered the ministry. If I had obeyed my father, I don't mean when I was a child, I mean when I grew up. When I grew up, if I had obeyed my father, I would not ever have been a preacher. I did not think for a single minute that God expected me to say, you're my father. I'm an adult, but you're still my father, and I'll obey you, and I'll never be a preacher. I don't think that for a minute. That's not Bible. I know a man who came to his daughter when she was 18 years of age and said, I want to sleep with you. Now, I want to commit, he didn't call it this, but I want to commit incest with you. Do you think for a single moment that grown daughter was supposed to obey her wicked, lustful father? Not on your life. Not on your life. When a wicked parent comes to a grown child and says, I want you to go to some pagan school. You're not supposed to go to that pagan school any more than you ought to go if you're an adult. And your mother and dad say, go to an adult bookstore and look at the peep shows. Abraham should not have obeyed his father. Abraham's father is almost 200 years old. That means Abraham is well up in years himself. Abraham should have said, Dad, I love you, and I have obeyed you as a child. But I have a heavenly father now, and I have transferred the obedience. Listen, the reason you obey your father when you're a child is because your father is God the Father to you as a child. But when you become an adult, then you transfer that obedience from your father to the heavenly father, and then your children in turn transfer or give their obedience to you as unto God. You mean to tell me that every time a heathen dad says to his grown son, I don't want you to be a preacher, he's not supposed to be a preacher? Do you mean to tell me that every time a heathen mother says to a grown daughter or son, I don't want you to go to the foreign mission field, they ought not to go to the foreign mission field? Do you mean to tell me that every time a mother or a father telling a grown son or a grown daughter they ought to get drunk, that they ought to get drunk? Well, of course not. It's folly. It is not Bible. There's not one place in this Bible that tells adults to obey their parents. Now, I think you ought to consider your parents' advice. My mother advised me not to come to Hammond 15 and a half years ago. She advised me not to come. If I had heeded the advice of my mother, I would not have been here. Now, mother did not tell me what to do because she wanted me to do God's will. I wonder this morning how many children have been held down spiritually because of their parents. Abraham did not. He lived at the halfway house. Why? Because Abraham loved his father more than he loved his heavenly father. Listen to me. Moms and dads, adults, there ought to be no allegiance in this world between you and your allegiance to the will of God. None whatsoever. I could tell you the saddest stories I know. I could tell you about children held down for their parents. I don't know how many times children have come to me and said, Brother Hiles, they're adults now, living in sin. I mean, gone, or they've talked to their family. I don't know how many times they've come to me and said, I tried, Brother Hiles. One boy came to me and he said, I'm in sin and I know it, and my mother and dad have their hearts broken. Brother Hiles, I tried to go teenage soul winning and they wouldn't let me go. Now you listen to me, moms. You listen to me, dads. You listen to me. Don't you ever stand in the way of your children's spiritual service for God. I can tell you young people whose parents lived at the halfway house. They did not let the kids go soul winning. I can tell you young folks in this room this morning who had severed that arm right there to get to go to Hammond Baptist grade school or high school, but they can't go because their parents could think more of one little, of a four or five worldly men putting their stamp of approval, they call them accreditation, on a school, and to have their kids turn out decent and right and respectable and honorable and soul-winning, God-fearing, Christ-loving, Christian young people, and the child is dying to go, begging to go. I know some kids on their knees have said, Mom and Dad, please, you come with me for a few minutes. You come with me to the state of Texas, the city of Garland. And you come with me to a couple whose hearts have been broken into. They joined the church in Garland where I pastored the first week or two that I pastored that church. I pastored them for almost 7 years. Lovely people. Finest folks in the church. Their daughter was going to a secular high school. She was being tempted to live in sin, and she came and she said, Mom, please let me go to a Christian high school. And they said, we can't afford it. And by the way, the mother told me this story. We can't afford it. And the girl said, but Mother, I don't think I can live right if I go to the public school. They have dope and liquor and cursing, and Mother, you've got to get me out of it. And this dear lady, who one of the finest ladies we had, got with her husband, and he was one of the finest men we had, and they decided not to let their child go. The girl came and on her knees with tears in her eyes streaming down her face, she said, Mother, Dad, please let me go to a Christian school. And they said no. Later she wanted to go to the Bob Jones University in those days, a few years ago. And they did not let her go. She went to the Texas Tech University, a state school. She begged her mom and dad. But her mom and dad, like Terah of old, stood in her way of serving God, like Terah stood in Abraham's way of serving God. What she had begged to do, they refused. Where she had begged to go, they refused. She sat in the class in Texas Tech University the first day she was in school, and one of those wicked, godless, anti-Christ, heathen, pagan professors whose salaries you and I are paying stood up and said, "How many of you still believe the Bible is the Word of God and the old gospel and the miracles of the Bible?" And this young lady raised her hand, the only one in class. And that professor pointed to her and he said, "Young lady, you won't believe that when you walk out of this school. You know who I'd like to punch right in the nose? You know who I'd like to kick right in the shin? You know who I'd like to knee right in the stomach? Every time I think that there are men and women now dedicated to taking these precious innocent girls who look so modest and sit like little ladies here on the front this morning, every time I realize that there are heathen, wicked forces begging to take these precious innocent looks and rob them and steal their virtue, their decency, and their Christianity, I want to fight somebody." He said, "You don't have a good spirit." "No, I don't aim to keep a good spirit about that either." And that mother trembled as she told me, and she told me this story right in our church. She came all the way from Texas to tell me. She quivered her lips and tears rolled down her cheeks, and she said, "Pat, Brother Hiles," she said, "he was right. He did get her faith. She got in the wrong crowd, and she wouldn't write, and she went to Panama, down in Panama, country of Panama. Brother Hiles, we don't know where she is now. She came back home, we found dope that she had, found some dope that she had. And she's with a dope crowd and she's gone and we don't know where she is." "Brother Hiles," she said, "she got on her knees, she begged me to let her go to the Christian high school. But I said, we can't afford it. She begged me. She said, Mother, I can't stand it. I won't be able to stand up. Mother, I can't do it. I can't do it. She begged me and begged me and begged me." The last time I saw that lady, she didn't even know what country her daughter was in. Now, moms and dads, you better listen. The truth is, you ought to be leading the way in soul winning. Instead of saying to your sons and daughters, "You can't go, so all you do is go down to that church all the time." Well, I've got some news for you. Teenage kids happen to go somewhere all the time anyway, and if they don't come to church all the time, they're going to go around all the time. Some of you moms and dads have been complaining about a few buses getting in late, and I'm sorry they get in late, but I've got news for you. The adult bus got in 3 hours late last Thursday. I almost got the teenagers down there. If I'd have been in town, I would have. We'd have griped and griped all over the place. Why don't you give it a little leniency? Why don't you thank God somebody loves your kid enough to take a few buses for a bus ride and try to teach them something decent? I'm tired of Christian parents bucking kids who want to serve God. Abraham, if you'd have said to your dad, "I love you, Dad, but I love God more, and I love the will of God more, and I'm going to serve God and obey God." We have girls in this room this morning that love to wear decent length skirts, but heathen moms and dads wanted to wear miniskirts. We have young people that want to learn to pray and fast, and their mothers won't let them fast for a day because they're afraid it'll make them sick. In the first place, fasting one day a week will make you better, you make you more weller. It'll make you healthier. But I'm simply saying, look, we don't have a youth problem in this country. We've got a mom and dad problem. Our moms and dads don't want their kids living in the earth of the Chaldees, but they don't want them down in Canaan either. Moms and dads, in the name of Jesus Christ, if you had heard the children tell me after they've gone to the devil, wrecked their lives, lost their decency, lost their purity, if you heard them sit in my office and say, "I wanted to, but Mom wouldn't let me. I wanted to, but Dad wouldn't let me." Moms and dads, let them serve God. Good night, what's wrong with you? Abraham, he kept his father, and in keeping him, he lost him, because one day Abraham came home and found his old dad dead. You'll check the Bible, you'll find that Abraham buried his dad in Haran. Ladies and gentlemen, you never keep anything in God's work by grasping after it. You gain by giving, you keep by losing, you go up by going down, you go forward by going backward, you go high by going low, you get things because you give things away. You never grasp for yourself and say, I want it, I want it, I want it. Abraham found it out that day when he walked out to the cemetery in Haran and saw a little tombstone over the body of his dad and turned to walk away from the silent city of the dead. His dad is gone, gone for good. I've got an idea, Abraham said. I wish I'd left my dad. In keeping my dad, I lost him.